I call this meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen is excused. Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ron Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
And Councilmember Serena Sullivan is excused. City staff Justin Johnson, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, and Carl, City Attorney.
Okay, thank you very much. The item number one, discussion regarding a petition presented by Jeff Harris concerning the initiative process. And I called for this work session tonight to get the council informed to as much as we can about various things concerning the initiative process. We're going to start off tonight. I think we'll just start off with we have two people signed up to speak on this. And Mr. Harris, if you're ready, you can be the first speaker.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Harris. I live here in Warren. I would like to think the petition is somewhat self-explanatory, but I'm guessing it may not be. My purpose here is to try and restore the right of initiative that has, in essence, been taken out of the reach of the voters through a prior act of the council. The framers of the Arizona Constitution were very keen on providing the citizens with co-authorship of legislation through the power of initiative. In fact, they were very keen on providing the safeguards the petitioning process, specifically for recall, initiative, and referendum. They were so keen on this that they risked statehood. The story I like to tell is the federal government told the framers that they would not grant Arizona statehood unless they took out the provisions for initiative, recall, and referendum out of the Constitution, out of the Arizona Constitution. And so the framers said, sure, we'll take it out. And the minute they got statehood, they put it right back in. So Arizona is a state that's had a very strong public policy favoring the petitioning process, specifically these three petitions, ever since it's the beginning. Excuse me, I whipped my hand up and it's not doing real well. I suspect at this point that if there are any questions, I would be more than willing to answer them.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions? I can explain what the mechanics of it, but maybe that's...
Probably what we're going to do is we're probably going to go back and forth between the city attorney, council, perhaps yourself, and whoever else would like to speak. We have another speaker signed up.
I probably should talk about the actual mechanics. The legislature has set up the process for recall and referendum with no allowance for any monkeying with the means of calculating the signatures. That's fixed. We cannot touch it. What they did do was they allowed the basis for calculating the 15% that's required. And 15% is the figure that for signatures on a petition. And given the strong public policy favoring the power of initiative, the legislature put in there a means by which cities could reduce the number of signatures that would be required, as it stands now, what the prior, let me go back a little bit, what the previous, what a previous city council did was they changed the basis for calculating the 15% from the number of people who voted in the last election in which a mayor or council was elected, as it is for initiative, as it is for referendum. That's the basis. What the prior council did was they pushed that up to what is a maximum allowable by using as a basis every registered voter in the city of Bisbee. And right now, the requirements for the minimum signature requirement for Bisbee is around 620, which is pretty much unattainable.
Let me refer to the city clerk. Those numbers have been revised since the last election, so it's no longer 620. Ms. Coronado, would you want to run those numbers down? It's different now.
Sure. Those numbers are going to change based on our last, you know, our most recent election. So if we were to go off of the general election that was held November of 2014, that number would now be 521.
So it's about 100 signatures less now.
That is not correct in the sense that the election has nothing to do with the 15%. The way it's calculated now is from the total number, 15% of the total number of registered voters.
Correct, and that is the correct number.
The total number
of registered voters at that time for the general election 2014 was 3,475.
And this is not the number of voters who actually
voted? No, that is actual registered voters. And I got those numbers from the county.
Okay. So that is still a high number. The state requirement would be significantly less. The last time I checked, and it may have changed, it was around 250 signatures, which is quite doable. The whole idea is to allow people to do it that don't have it so a requirement so ridiculously low that folks can come in for anything. But 500, 600, even 700 as a requirement is beyond what is reasonable for a community this size. It's hard to get that many signatures on a petition, and essentially deprives the citizenry of their right given to them under the Arizona Constitution to be co-authors of legislation, to participate in the legislative process.
We can come back to you, Jeff, but I would think let's move on to Mr. Fred Miller. We'll get the speakers done first.
No. Hello, my name is Fred Miller. I live at 39 Hazard Street, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on this. It seems to me that there are two important issues to consider regarding Mr. Harris's proposal to lower the number of signatures necessary to put an initiative on the ballot. And the first issue is one of the lack of trust in an elected representative council. And he basically says that if you don't like something that the council voted on, it should be relatively easy to gather signatures to put it on the ballot to overturn it. So that means that if you guys make a decision and somebody storms out of here and disagrees with it and goes stands in front of Safeway in the post office and gathers a lower number of signatures, they would force something to be on the ballot, which is not, I don't think, a good way to govern. But I suggest you do not support Mr. Harris' petition because it could and likely would allow frivolous initiatives to be put in front of the voters. Overturning a council decision should require concerted effort to indicate substantive and widespread objections to any particular decision that you might take. I've discussed this with several people, and all oppose the sentiment behind Mr. Harris's proposal. As one of them wrote to me, if one is that passionate about an issue and so believes in that issue, as well as the democratic voting process required to support it, then communicating with enough registered voters in order to get 15% of them to support its arguments' validity is not an unreasonable request. Generally, council decisions are reached through lengthy discussion with ample opportunities for public input. The second issue is economic, and that is there's no guarantee that an initiative, if it were if it were had enough signatures, would be put on the ballot in conjunction with the regularly scheduled election.
Could I stop you just there for a second? Ms. Coronado, how many elections can the county do per year?
There are four.
So,
but the council can decide to do a special election also. I believe
within the parameters
on those four dates.
Yeah.
The four dates that the county allows.
Oh, I see. But on the four, on, yeah. Okie dokie.
But that kind of supports what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So I didn't understand the four dates. Yeah. So his proposal, if passed, could put a financial burden on city taxpayers if there's a special election, for instance. A special election was estimated to cost taxpayers somewhere around 10 or 15 grand. It's the last figure I saw. It might be a little bit less, might be a little bit more. I don't know. For those reasons, I don't think you should support the initiative, because it just clearly says that if there's a large number of people in our community that doesn't like what you've done, that there it should take some effort to gather those signatures that reflect that opinion to then put it up for a vote.
Let me just say one more thing before you leave. I think we need a clarification to a certain degree of the difference between a referendum, and this is for the public's sake, referendum and initiative.
Right.
So if the council passes something and the public doesn't like that, a referendum, which is a much lower level what an initiative is, they can do a referendum and overturn that particular one law. But initiative process is essentially placing a new law on the books that the council cannot overturn. Only the public could overturn that through another initiative process.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, you understand.
That was my understanding.
Am I correct in that, Ms. Carl?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, just to square what both of you are saying, an initiative process could be a repeal of a law after a certain amount of time, But, that's exactly right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Do we have any comments or questions from the council? Let me once again go back to the initiative. If it was completed and passed, the council could never overturn that. And during that process, the council would not be allowed to have any legislative debate on that particular issue, like just a regular election. You couldn't be supporting this candidate or that candidate. So while that was that campaign was going on that particular initiative process, the council would be essentially not allowed to promote either in favor or against. Is that correct, Ms. Carl?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Okay. So there would be no legislative, in this case, council debate on that particular issue. Mr. Harris, did you want to have something else to say? Go ahead.
Yes, if I may, I want to clear up a couple of issues. You are somewhat correct when you're talking about the council not being able to overturn a decision on a referendum, but only in rare instances. That the way the law reads is if more than 50% of the registered voters vote for an item, then the council cannot overturn it. But in practicality, that never happens. So initiative decisions can be easily overturned. There has been no problem with overturning those in other communities that have had them. Mr. Miller's claim that initiatives serve as a means of showing dissatisfaction of something the council has done, and that's not quite right either. That is more the function of the referendum, not the initiative. The initiative is the constitutional right that has been given to the voters by the framers of the Arizona Constitution, in which they wish to give the voters the chance to co-author legislation. Obviously, you all are put up here to author legislation, but the framers, in all their wisdom, thought it was an important power to give also co-equally to the voters as well. And this notion that if you lower the requirements to 250, say, that suddenly you're going to have a flood of initiatives is nonsense. There are most communities in the state have not done what we have done, is push this bar way higher than what the statute requires. Remember, that all I'm asking is that we bring this back in line with the Arizona statute. And these other communities have the same requirement. They haven't monkeyed with the statutory limits that is the default unless the city changes it. And there's no flood of initiatives.
Let me ask the city clerk a question, because I don't have that number in front of me right at the moment. If we would approve Mr. Harris's petition, that would take it down to 15% of the voters that voted in the last election. Is that correct? Yeah. And so 521 is where we're at right now of the registered voters, so they would need 521 signatures. Essentially, where would that take us down to? About 270? Just a ballpark figure. I don't have the number in front of me. 270, 280, 250, somewhere in there, right?
Hang on just
okay.
A second.
It's in that ballpark.
Give me just a quick second.
While she's calculating, I might remind you that if there's only 10% of the same basis that the statute requires. So if there's 250 signatures needed on a initiative, there's only about 175 needed on a referendum.
It would put us about 280.
About 280, that's what I thought.
Just depending on...
Even 280 is a substantial bar.
Yeah, it is. However, I know you're indicating that maybe people wouldn't participate so much on those levels of signatures, but and I don't intend to be snide when I say this, but Bisbee's a rather unique community in the sense of community activism, and there are certain issues that could come up that I'm not going to mention which they might be, but I would speculate that four or five people could get 280 signatures within a week to 10 days. That's what I truly believe.
I have, on referendum petitions, gotten 300 signatures, and it took me the full 30 days, and it was not an easy task. It is truly a difficult thing. I got 75% more than what was required. And once again, if you're required to get 280 signatures, you can't stop at the 280. You have to get a nice buffer. And so a reasonable number of signatures to get, if the requirement is 280, would be 400 or 450. And now we're talking real numbers.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm mistaken. Circa midway, maybe about July or August 2008, you had a petition similar to this or identical to this before the council?
Yes.
Yeah. And my memory serves me correctly, it was, and this is no reflection on you whatsoever, I believe it was unanimously rejected. Is that?
I don't remember what the vote was, but it was rejected, yes.
Yeah. I think it opens up, my opinions on this, it opens up it opens up dangers in the sense of legislation being put upon the city that the council cannot overturn, and I think that's why that high number is important. It's absolutely important that it's a very serious issue instead of some issue that maybe isn't super relevant to the council. I believe that number needs to be where it is. There was some people last spring on a controversial issue, and they got over right around 600 signatures. I guess they made a couple of mistakes, and I'm not going to go into who and what that was all about. But it was an issue that concerned a lot of people in the community, and they did get almost all the signatures that they needed to get. And I believe they just made a couple of errors or something, and they would have had those signatures. But I think you open it up, is what Mr. Miller mentioned, to I don't mean to put the citizens down in any way whatsoever when I say this, but there would be a temptation for frivolous initiatives to perhaps come forward that could possibly even pass, since the council would not be able to debate those issues once it was in the election process. And I think it's a dangerous avenue to go down. That's what I believe.
Well, I'm surprised by the use of dangerous, because this is a right that was given us under the Arizona Constitution. And all I'm asking is for us to bring the level down to the level that the framers thought was appropriate. And you talk about, first of all, I already addressed the issue that in essentially every case, the council does not have a problem with overturning that. That's just not... The low voter turnouts make it almost impossible to get more than 50% of the vote of the registered voters to voting on an item. Generally, not even 50% of the voters have been showing up to the elections. Certainly, not a majority of greater than 50% of the voters.
Well, let me say it's not real pertinent what I'm going to say, but you know, Mr. Harris, I appreciate your involvement in city affairs mm-hmm. when so many are not involved. I appreciate that, but on this particular issue, we just have a very strong philosophical difference of opinion. But I appreciate your activism. I truly do.
Well, it's not my activism. It's not an issue of activism. I'm merely asking that we bring back restore the right that of initiative that has been taken away from us. I'm asking for the city to track precisely the requirements that have been put in place as a default by the Arizona legislature, by the framers.
Council Member Connors.
Yeah, I have a question for the attorney.
Certainly.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been tracking this. The numbers that are required that Mr. Harris is asking us to deal with this evening, those numbers move, right? According to how many people are registered to vote, how many people actually vote. So I mean, those figures, they're not. There's a percentage set in stone, but the numbers move up and down. Correct?
That's right. And Ms. Coronado has been tracking those numbers.
Every election cycle,
right.
They're a little different.
She knows
higher,
it.
A little lower, and actually probably trending lower mm-hmm. than higher. So, what is your opinion of how stringent or how What's your interpretation of the Arizona State requirement and how we perform or adhere to those numbers, and then a couple of things I'll have a follow up question if that was muddy enough a question for you.
Okay. Well, in terms of how we perform with this statutory initiative process now, I think we're just one of 16 states or so that has an initiative process. So we're very fortunate to begin with to even have this process, and it is a safeguard for the public to have a process. But I have to dispute a couple of things that Mr. Harris said. He said that he wants to bring this back in line with the Arizona statute, and then you corrected yourself and said the default of the Arizona statute. The Arizona statute we are in line with. There are two options provided in that statute, so we're very much in line with the statute as things are. Mr. Harris also mentioned that this is an opportunity for citizens to be co-authors of statutes, and the issue there is that it allows citizen legislators to be authors of initiatives. And it prevents you as a council who are very interested in constituencies and in, you know, the give and take sometimes and the compromise that has to happen with lawmaking. It prevents you from being involved in tinkering with whatever law the citizens have collected signatures for and voted on. So what you see is what you get, whether it is a good law or a bad law. And as someone pointed out, sometimes these laws can be extreme. You know, there was the marijuana initiative in the 90s that allowed heroin and PCP and some other things, you know, because of the way it was written. Sometimes these initiatives can attack minority groups, and they have since 1914. So it's a huge power that citizens have. They can use it for ill or use it for good. But having a high number of signatures, I think, is important, not just for the reasons that Mr. Miller elaborated on about the cost of elections. And I think we all know for every election, it's expensive. But even beyond that cost, if we have a bad law or a poorly written law, a poorly conceived law, because a citizen writing this law and getting petitions signed isn't going to have necessarily an attorney to ask, is this constitutional or is this, XYZ. So you may end up with a law that you as the council end up having to enforce, that you as the council end up having to defend, because lawsuits might come from the minority or the group that doesn't like the law that's passed, and then we as a city have to spend money to hire maybe a big firm who does these huge cases all the time and defend those cases. It's expensive in that sense, and it the only cap on the initiative, on the statutory initiative process, the only cap is the same cap that is for other laws. It has to be constitutional. Both Arizona and the U.S. Constitution have to be satisfied. So it's a huge power, and I think that the signature requirement that we have now is reasonable for all of the reasons given. Plus, if you actually have to go around and talk with people and get people to buy in and get them on board, you're doing the work that needs to be done anyway in order to get the law passed ultimately down the road. So it's not like it's a fruitless effort just to get the signatures. I think getting that many signatures helps you possibly pass the law if it's a good one. And if it's not, it may indicate that there's not widespread support. I don't know if that was the kind of answer you wanted, but
I think it the manner of which I tried to articulate the question. But we're going. No, it was clear, and a word was used describing behavior. I think it was stated of a previous administration of monkeying with the initiative process. Could we use that same word, in reverse, in as far as Mr. Smith or Mr. Harris's trying to monkey with the numbers that we're using that we're compelled to follow, the percentages in. It's just kind of, we're jockeying, or he's positioning himself and wanting to change something that is law and is requirement. So, I take a little umbrage in the word, monkey, that was used to describe a process that the city council goes through to maintain the integrity of passing ordinances and laws. So,
well, you're the elected officials who are entitled to choose a different number if you wish, to choose a different percentage. But you have to do it by ordinance, and you're right. There's a process that you go through to pass an ordinance. Right. So you can make that change if you want to, and if and when you ever do make that change, it will be an official change. I mean, you've worked your way up through the election. You have your constituents that you represent, and that should be and is being reflected in the decisions you make. So it's not monkeying. It's legislating.
It's legislating.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Any
Mr.
other?
Mayor?
Mr. Harris, go ahead.
I'd like to provide a couple of points of clarification. The city attorney is correct that indeed the present law is consistent with the statute. However, it does not track the statute. To my understanding, Bisbee is the only city in this county that differs from the language of the statute. And it's not the percentage that changed. The 15% is constant. It's the basis on which the 15% is calculated that can be changed, or in my terms, monkey with. All I'm asking is that we get back in line, we track the language that the framers of the Arizona Constitution put in place. I really believe they had a better idea than any of us as to what type of bar there should be to be able to author legislation, to be for the citizens to author legislation. And I'd like to see it us go back to that. The other cities in the county have the same standard, the same bar that the statute sets up, and there's no flood of initiatives in the other cities in this county. So the notion that we will see a flood of initiatives is not appropriate. As for the likelihood of putting in place legislation that's not appropriate, once again, we're arguing against the constitutional right that's been given us by the framers. So if we start making this process more difficult, we are going against public policy in this sense. And if the council senses that the people want something badly, there's nothing to prevent the council from front running similar legislation that the council itself could work, deliberate on, and pass it ahead of the referendum. There's nothing that would prevent you from doing that.
My take that the initiative process numbers need to be high, but they're not impossible numbers, i.e., the effort done last year by some people on a controversial issues. Essentially, they were in that ballpark of getting those numbers. So I don't think those. I don't think that number is an impossible number to get. I think it's a very reasonable number, quite frankly.
What?
But it takes a little effort, and it's an issue that concerns the community at large. I just believe that that number needs to be where it's at right now.
Well, the framers of the Constitution disagree with you on that. They set up a different standard for calculating the 15%. And all I'm asking is we go back to that, what the framers set up. They have a better idea of what should be allowed than I believe any of us do. If this is an issue for you, you shouldn't be a legislator in Arizona. This is a right that's been given us since the inception of the statehood. I don't think it's at all appropriate to try and second guess what the framers gave to all of the citizens. I really do believe that the only time the citizens would want to do something of this sort is when the legislators, the council in this situation, have refused to address an issue that's important to a lot of people. There's no need for it if the legislators are doing their job. So why take this safeguard away from them by raising the bar up so hard, so high that it's very, very difficult to beat for the citizens to do it? Wouldn't it be better just to front run to prevent this sort of frustration from the voters by merely addressing what it is, bringing up the issues from the council, so that the citizens don't have to resort to these methods? If you keep the bar high, the council, it's much easier for the council to say, well, hey, we can do what we like. We can ignore them because it's almost impossible for the citizens to get enough signature to actually author
legislation. Well, I don't know. Mr. Hussa, I think I would disagree with that. If the council passes legislation that the public finds odious or disagrees with intensely, there's a referendum process, and that number is much, much lower, like
10%.
Okay. It's dramatically, or I don't think the number is right in front of me.
10% calculated on the basis that I am suggesting.
Right. And so that number is dramatically lower, and they can overturn, the voters could overturn a decision that the council could make. But the initiative is a different situation, Mr. Harris. You know that. It's about possibly creating new laws that the council cannot undo. Mm-hmm. Only another initiative could undo the initiative that was passed.
No, that's not correct.
That's not?
I've said twice now that that is almost never the case. It's only correct if the vote on the initiative petition is more than 50% of the registered voters, and that, has, to my knowledge, has never happened.
Mayor,
Councilmember Connors.
May I? Just
absolutely,
refer,
of course.
Do you agree with that last statement, Miss? You're an attorney, correct?
Right, I am.
Okay.
And I think there's something to it, but I can't remember off the top of my head in terms of what the support is behind the initiative. But I'd have to double check, and I'd have to research that, and I didn't research that piece before I came.
Say it in public, you know, I couldn't be more in lockstep with you on what you've articulated already, Mayor. I heard something said at the meeting, the city council meeting, when there was an attorney standing at that podium. Mr. Hitchcock said to Ms. Carl that we are going to have to agree to disagree, and it is, it's interpretation and opinion is what I'm listening to and feeling and hearing here this evening. It's just at this point in time, I feel that to agree to disagree, you know, you've mentioned a couple of a referendum. Every 2 years, your seat is up. Every 4 years, our seat is up. So there are other ways of monkeying with ordinances, potential laws, and that's just not voting the person back into office, getting a majority of like-minded people at this dais, finding 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 people that agree with a potential initiative or referendum, and if those folks can't be found to sign a petition, I guess you could compel or force or, you know, twist somebody's arm, threaten them, blackmail them, however, to agree with you. But to just simply ask somebody if they agree with you and they don't, I think it speaks for itself. If somebody cannot reach the numbers that they need to reach, I don't think a bar needs to be lowered. And if somebody, you know, disagrees or strenuously disagrees, they're not going to be persuaded. I sit here and listen, and I hope sometimes to be persuaded. If I've come into this room thinking that this is the way I'm pretty sure I'm going to vote, and then somebody or a bunch of people, a lot of people, persuade me to behave and vote differently, that's why I'm here, is to be persuaded. I'm not here to legislate. I'm not here to dictate. And however people interpret whatever happens up here, is their inalienable right to, and it's their right to have an opinion, but that is exactly what it is. It's their opinion, it is their stance, And that is the beautiful part of what's going on, is that we can agree to disagree and not, you know, and bring up an ordinance to change an ordinance. You know, we don't just do things because we want to or because we really want to, and it's really hard, and I don't want to, you know, and I can't fulfill that obligation. I can't meet that obligation. We're not here to do that. We're here to hire an attorney to interpret the law and instruct us on what he or she thinks. And hopefully more times than not, we agree unanimously. But I'm, you know, I'm open to persuasion. And I haven't been persuaded because it's been the way it's been. And I think any document that's been written, and I'll be ambiguous about whatever, but if it's a legislative doctrine or book or something, I think everything is a living and needs to evolve, and that's why things are amended and things, you know, nothing, everything needs to grow. Especially myself in knowing more about law and procedure and things like that, but even the laws themselves can be changed, can be over another ordinance. You know, the 19th Amendment and the 21st Amendment. I mean, you know, we do things we think are good, and then we undo things if they're not so good. I mean, we're not infallible. But there are bars that we need to maintain just for the sake of some sort of consistency. And I appreciate, I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to that, Mayor Hurtley and Carl. Thank you.
Let me say that this is a work session tonight. We're not going to be making any decisions, and by law, that we have to place this petition on the agenda within 3 meetings. That's for some public consumption on that. So no doubt we will have this on the agenda next Tuesday night on the official regular session agenda to deal with your petition, Mr. Harris. Yeah.
May I make
certainly
one for the
point?
I like the word that Gene used in terms of consistency of the bar, and that's precisely what I'm asking. I'm asking that we track perfectly the requirement put in place by the framers of the Arizona Constitution, and that we are consistent in that regard with all the other towns in this county and for most of the other towns in this the state. One odd thing by more or less making the safeguard of initiative more difficult is that this also Mr. O'Connor's referred to somewhat, not directly, was that as it stands now, I believe the requirement for initiative is higher than the requirement for recall. I believe if you make it so difficult for people to for citizens to author legislation, and the council itself does not address the needs of the city by proposing that or at least bringing to the docket that legislation themselves, then you may find that the easier solution for many people is recall. 25% of a lower basis as it stands now is less than the number of signatures required for 15% of this much higher basis. If you give the people the opportunity, this safeguard, I think you'll find there'll be less incidents or less inclination to go for a recall election. And an earlier point was that the expense will address the expense of an initiative election. There's no requirement whatsoever for an initiative, a special election to be held for an initiative. The council is perfectly within its rights to wait until the next scheduled election to put the initiative election on the ballot, and that's typically how it's done. So it cost need not be an issue at all.
Does any members of the council, the public for that matter, have any comments, anything more to say? Mr. Harris, do you have any other comments?
I don't think I've covered most anything unless someone has any questions of me. This is something I know well. I have two published opinions. They've both been on initiative, and I prevailed in both. So this is something I understand quite well.
This process tonight was kind of an informational process, viewpoints expressed, and was for the council's understanding of it primarily, but also the public. I think that we have achieved our goal, not 100% tonight, but I think mostly of informing us, the council, staff, public, as to the differences of opinion that we have and how we feel about this particular subject matter. And if there's nothing further to say from anybody, Mr. Harris, go ahead.
I misspoke. Both published opinions dealt with the petitioning process. Okay. One was with initiative and the other was with referendum.
Okay. And without...
I move we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.